T-shirt. It's a little large, but it's awesome. God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before your word, and Lord, we're humbled in the sight of you. You've done so much for us, and we're eternally grateful for that. But Lord, I'm just struck by my need for you. That in myself I can do nothing and nothing of significance. But you are alive and you're real and you're here. Hallelujah. And Lord, our desire is to get your message not just into the airwaves, Lord, but into the hearts of people who come, who listen online. And Lord, we just want to give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, but before we get into that, while you're finding that, I just got to remind you that Jesus is real. And that he's more than just a story, right? He's more than somebody that lived 2,000 years ago. He's alive now. And I don't know if everybody experiences it the same way. I'm sure they don't. But I grew up in church, and knew all the stories about Jesus. Heck, I went to a religious school where we had religious classes every year. But I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. But there came a day when I didn't find Jesus. He found me. Right? I had to give in to what he was saying, but he found me. And that day is so real to me, I still relive that day. But my heart goes out for people who, like I did, had a knowledge of God and a knowledge of Jesus. And they think that is it. But it's not. It's not. It's not a head thing, although the head's involved. It's a heart thing. And if you've never known God at the level of heart issue, reach out to him. Cool thing about him, he's no respecter of persons. He said he'd never cast anybody away. Aren't you glad for that? And that all that would come to him would be saved. You know, another cool thing is when we mess up, we get to get up. I've pictured the devil like this before. This has nothing to do with my sermon, but I got the mic so I can do what I want. But I pictured the devil like this before. He says, come on. It's not that bad. Just go ahead and do it. Just do it. It's going to be okay. Just, you know, everybody else is doing it, or you know, whatever your little thing is, whatever it is. And he says, come on, it won't be that bad. And you're not as bad as you used to be. Just do it. And then the minute that you do it, he's got his foot on your neck and saying, you sorry thing. I thought you said you loved God. How could you? You don't even talk to God anymore because you're pathetic. Right? But that's not Jesus. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, I knew that you would be in this position before you were born. And I sent my love to you in this position before you were born. I've already paid the price. I've already made a way. So get up and come back to me. Just keep coming back to me. Keep coming back to me, for I am yours and you're mine. right? That's the Jesus that I know. That's the Jesus that I preach. That's the, you know, he doesn't condone everything that we do, but his love makes up for any mistakes that we make. Isn't that? That's just so good. So awesome. Hallelujah. We've been talking for a few weeks on the Holy Spirit, and not just the Holy Spirit. Watch this. In a church service. Not just the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning, but the Holy Spirit every day, 24/7. He is available to us. He lives in us. And watch this. He doesn't want to just minister to us. He wants to minister through us. Come on. Who's that for? Come on, it's for me. It's for me. It's for all of us. And here's the reality. Is that if you don't get activated, the body of Christ will be dysfunctional. Let me say that again. If you don't get activated, the body of Christ will be dysfunctional. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's start in verse 12. This is after he's talked about, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, gives manifestations to all as he wills and all of that. But watch this. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." What does that mean? You've got hands, you've got legs, you've got lips, you've got a liver, you've got all kinds of eternal organs and things, you know, you've got, and all of that consists of you. Right? And we're going to see that sometimes some of the parts we don't pay much attention to, but they're vital. Right? I mean, when's the last time you really gave a good consideration to your liver? I'm meditating on my liver today. Right? But I guarantee you, if your liver fails, you're in trouble. So what I'm saying is that we have to equate that to the body of Christ. And watch this. This isn't an isolated incident where, okay, he's changing subjects. This actually goes back to chapter 11 and 12 and 13. Remember in chapter 11, this was a church that he founded. These were people that he loved, but he's writing back to them and he's going, "You are dysfunctional. You get together and have a meal and some eat, some don't, and some..." He said, "Listen, the body of Christ is not divided. You need to be together." Right? In fact, because of your behavior, some are asleep and some aren't functioning at all, and some have died because you're not acting right. And so if we want the Holy Spirit to operate in our church, which we do, right? The church is not this building. The church is not me. The church is us. Right? And it's not just us. It's anybody who names Jesus Lord of their life. Right? The church is meeting down the road. Come on, the church is meeting in Uganda. The church is meeting in Russia. The church is meeting in Ukraine. But we're all part of the one body. Verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." I like this. "But if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ears should say, because I'm not of an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Look, at this is a picture of us, right? I'm the pastor, so I would kind of represent the mouthpiece. But that's not the whole body. Just think about yourself for a minute. If you didn't have ears, or if you didn't have a nose, or if you didn't have a mouth, or you didn't have a toe. And it's going to go on to talk about it in Romans, in different places it talks about, you know, some of the members that seem not to have any significance have great significance. And what we want to understand is that you're needed. You're wanted. You're not without significance. And I'm not just talking about what you can do for me in this church to make this church bigger. Nothing to do with it. What I'm talking about is the body of Christ, Jesus on the earth. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, he's the head, but we're the body. And so the way it should go, like our bodies should function, if they're functioning correctly, our brain sends impulses down through our physical bodies to tell our legs to move or our lips to move or whatever it is. And it obeys because it's functioning correctly, right? Well, the Holy Spirit is at work in us, giving us impulses from the head of the church. And he's wanting all of the body to be responsive to what he's saying. It's so cool to me because God wants to use me. God wants to use you. And you might think, well, I'm nobody. That's not the point. The point is, he made you somebody because you're not of yourself anymore. You're in Christ. Many of us have ideas that, well, because this part of my physical body doesn't look good, therefore I'm less than. The world just deceives us so badly. Watch this. But God is saying, you're part of my body. And not one part of my body doesn't have significance. And I want it to operate so that I can do what I'm created to do on the earth. And that is to reconcile all men back to God. Who's that? That's you. That's me. I like this. You know, the Bible says that Satan is under our feet. Satan is under our feet. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. And I've said it this way facetiously before, but, you know, if I'm a callus on the bottom of the left heel of Jesus, he's still under my feet. Right? So God wants to use all of us in such a way that we're operating for the kingdom of God and going out, kicking the devil's butt, taking names, and bringing people out of bondage into freedom. Who? Me. You. Every one of us. And every one of us has significance. But watch this. We don't all do it the same way. We don't all do it the same way. And we're going to see that clearly. I must get going here. Let's go to verse 25. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but all members should have the same care one for another. For if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You know, I don't think much of my big toe, not very often, but there have been a couple of times in my life in the middle of the night getting to the bathroom, I've hit my big toe on the side of the bed or something, and then I think about it a lot. In fact, that's all I think about. And in the body of Christ, it's time for us to begin to be concerned with other people. And if they're hurting, I'm hurting. And it's not without significance because I'm as connected to them as they are to me. I might not agree with everybody scripturally, but I found this out too. I'm not always right. Most of the time, but not always right, right? But watch this. I have people, this is so cool, I got to tell you this. And just in the last week, well, let me just preface this. We started this church in January of 1995. That's when a new beginning began. But in actuality, we were born out of a different church, so it was before that. So that's been a lot of years. And people, like, you know, come and go. But in the last few weeks, I've had the honor and privilege of getting phone calls or visitations or something from people who haven't been around for a lot of years. But they say, oh, you're my pastor. I've been to other churches and they're not like this one. They're not, you know, I may be in this state, but I still call this my home church. And I still, right, and I here's the privileged part of it. I've been able to say to them with sincere heart, listen, you may have left us, but we never left you. You're always a part of us. If you've been here, you're a part of us. Whether you're in Missouri, you're in Texas, you're in Florida, it doesn't matter. You're on the streets, it doesn't matter. Right? Why? Because we're part of the same body. And even though you might not be my biological children, if you've been here, you're my kids. Right? Adrian came up to me today and said, well, you're not my father, but happy Father's Day. I said, I'm your spiritual daddy. Right? We're all part of one another, and we need to begin to just connect with one another. And even if there's been offense, did you know that offense is nothing more than the devil wanting to get you apart from the body? Right? And we all have been offended. And I'm not saying that you should just let people run over you. None of that. But it's like, Lord, I just trust you with me. And so I'm just going to turn that offense over to you. Yeah. Right? See, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. But He has to connect you. Right? In the body. You have to be connected in the body. I said, you have to be... That's Father's Day. Why did you get a flower and not me? But anyway, look at... You have to be connected in the body. If you want the Holy Spirit to use you, it's not just about your needs getting met. Oh, thank you, buddy. Awesome. Ask and you shall receive. Right? Right. Watch this. It's about God using you to make His body complete, to make His body whole, to make His body one and effective and functioning. So good. It's so good. And we get that privilege. Watch this now. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, watch this. I want you to get this list, and we're going to read from another couple of lists. But it says, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. And then gifts of healings, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with other tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Look at this. Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. You're in here somewhere. I said, you're in here somewhere. Well, let's read through that list again. Verse 29, I may not be an apostle. I may not be a prophet. I may not be a teacher. I may not work miracles. I may not have gift of healings. But I speak with tongues. And I can interpret as He gives me the interpretation. Right? But earnestly desire the best gift. Go back up to verse 28. I missed it. Look at this. God's appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. 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 God has appointed people to help. God has appointed people to help administrations, people to run the thing, right? He's but watch this. He hasn't just said, okay, we need somebody in that position, so let's fill it with somebody. He's gifted people to do it. And sometimes our spiritual gifts, we're wondering, what gift do I have? Here's the best way to find out. What's God put in your heart? What gives you joy to do? Right? If God's put something in your heart and it gives you joy to do it, then you just rejoice that the Holy Spirit will anoint you to do it. Amen? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus being glorified and people directed into a functioning body where their needs can be met. Right? I'm telling you that there are certain ministries within a church or within the body of Christ that may not seem glamorous. Every day when we leave here, we have to clean the building before we go. And we do it better than anybody else has ever done it that's rented this facility. They've told us that, right? Why? Because that's the honorable thing to do it. But it's not that, you know, David likes mopping the men's bathroom, but he does it every time he's here. But watch it. That's part of the body being functioning together. And the Holy Spirit can anoint that just as much as me preaching. I know this is true. Go to Romans chapter 12. We'll just look at a couple of different things here. Romans chapter 12. And it's talking about this same type of thing that we need one another. We need one another. But I want you to have an expectation that no matter what you're doing for God, the Holy Spirit will supernaturally give you the ability to do it so that it will have an influence on somebody else. Everything in the Word of God must be obtained by faith. God's graced us to do something, but we have to obtain it by believing that God can use me to do something. He can. He does. He will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12. And I'm just... Let's go to verse 3 first of all. I'm going to get to the right place. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. This I say through the grace given to me, that every one of who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but think soberly, just as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In other words, it's not about me. It's not about me being puffed up or me being put in a position, whatever that position is. In fact, everything that I do that has spiritual significance, I only do it because He's given me the grace to do it. You can't take credit really for anything. You might have, you know, the ability to, you know, manage a big company. You might have the ability to sing greatly. You might have the ability to play an instrument or play sports or do any of that. But the reality is, God gave you the gifting to do it, so He gets all the credit. Right? He gets all the credit. But God dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. But every member has to have faith to function in their place. Right? We don't all have the same function, but we all need to have faith in the function that we're doing. And what do I mean by that? Well, specifically this morning I'm talking about God wants to use me, and if I operate in the body of Christ in any capacity, He'll give me the equipment, the power, the ability, the knowledge to be able to do it. I've taken this hard on since I was first saved. It's like if I'm directing cars in a parking lot in the middle of summer in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where it's 100 degrees, I'm going to do it with an anointing. Meaning, I believe what I'm doing right here is under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, I'm going to have an effect on those people who are trying to get out of this parking lot in a hurry. Are you with me? So for all of us, it's like, God, You've given me the privilege of becoming a parent, of becoming a father. But I'm not going to do it just on my own ability. I'm going to do it with the faith that You've equipped me to do it. And therefore, I'm going to parent supernaturally. Right? When I was working in the shipyard, Lord, I would go into the shipyard on the bus, you know, to get in. And I literally, almost every night, whether it was graveyard, whatever, Lord, I just thank You. I trust You with all my heart. I thank You, Lord, that You're going to use me today. I thank You for giving me supernatural function and ability. And you know what? He used me there. He used me there in the shipyard. In the shipyard? Yes. In the shipyard. Right. Not because I'm pastor, but because I'm part of the body of Christ. And you're part of the body of Christ. Are you getting it? God wants to use you where you are in your business. But He won't be in your business unless you have faith that He is. Because you'll rely on your own ability rather than trusting Him in His ability. The body of Christ is not for the four walls of the church building. It's for the world. Come on, we're here to represent Jesus in the world, but we've got to begin to understand and know that it's Him who wants to use us. And if He wants to use us, He's going to give us the ability to do it. Hallelujah. But watch this. I've got other scriptures. But go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what I've noticed. That we're all a part of the body of Christ. We're all important. We all need each other. Say that with me. We need each other. I need you, and you need me. I'm not complete without you. And you're not complete without me. So you're stuck with me. Hallelujah. We need each other and we need to work together. But now, let's go. I love the way this is laid out. Paul's talking to a real church that had problems, but he's trying to walk them through that. And he's saying, listen, all of you are gifted of the Holy Spirit. All of you have the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you. In fact, in this particular church, they had miracle meetings. They had prophecy going on. They had all kinds of things. The anointing of God was just flowing through this church. But their motives were a little messed up. So in between him telling them about the manifestations of the Spirit, and then in chapter 14, he's going to tell them how that should operate when you get together. He's going to say, here's the most important part of everything that we do. Look again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And this is not just a wedding chapter. Right? This is our motivation for everything that we do, everything that we're believing God to do through us. Watch this. For though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He's referring back to the gift of tongues and operating in prophecy. Right? Watch this now. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Love. And this is the word agape, and most of us have heard that agape really means the God kind of love, and there's some truth in that. But the best definition I've heard of this word, this type of love, is love that's given without any strings attached. You know, we're more like fishermen than we are saints sometimes. It's like, okay, I'm going to love you. What'd you say? I'm taking it back, right? I was talking with somebody about this the other day, and I said, you know, I've had those moments when I made statements like this. You know, somebody leaves the church, somebody does something or whatever, and I said, after all I've done for you, how could you see, that's not the kind of love that we're talking about here. Because God so loved the world, He did it no matter if you respond to it or not. And He's not taking it back. Come on. So this is the type of love that we're talking about. So if we do anything outside of this type of love, it doesn't profit us at all. Not only doesn't it profit us, but I don't think it has the effect that it's supposed to have on others. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me zilch. Nada. Zip. Nothing. Think about that. But Lord, don't you remember that missionary was in town and I gave them $1,000? God, doesn't that account? Nope. Because you didn't do it in love. You didn't do it with the unselfish ambition to bless somebody else, period. Right? Now, this is what love looks like. Love suffers long and is kind. I've known people to suffer long, but they weren't kind about it. Love does not envy. How come they get it and I don't, Lord? Love does not parade itself. What about me? Love's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. See, without verses 4 through 8, the efforts of us operating in the body of Christ aren't valid. They're not profitable. Bless God, I'm going to go preach today, but I'm going to preach fire to them. I'm going to straighten these people out. Why? Because they've irritated me. Stay home. Right? Just stay home. Now there's time. Watch this. The love of God isn't always, oh, you beautiful thing. How sweet you are. Sometimes love will kick somebody in the butt. Try to jerk them out of where they've been, right? You know, I've had to counsel people before, and counseling couples sometimes is like herding cats, right? But and sometimes I've had to say some pretty rough things to people, but it wasn't so that I could, you know, be the guy that was in charge and that I'm know-it-all, but that I want to help you. And unless you wise up, there's no hope. There's no hope. So sometimes love, the love that's described here, will say the truth in a way, but it's, watch this, it's always for the good of the person that it's being given to. Right? It has their best interest at heart and not my best interest at heart. So everything that we do for God, everything that God privileges us to do, must be birthed out of this type of love. But let me just say this. You can walk in love and not love the way you're walking or what you're walking. Right? What do I mean? I don't want to go apologize, Lord. I'm not loving this that you're pointing out these things and I've got to go tell them about it, Lord. I don't want to do that, but love says you're going to do it. And you go do it anyway. I'd rather sleep in, Lord, than go do what I committed myself to do, Lord. I can come up with an excuse, but love says no. You're going to do what you said you were going to do. You see what I'm saying? So love doesn't have to always be motivated by feelings. I'm not feeling it. Well, it's tough. Do it anyway. It's like your kids. Mom, I don't want to go to school. Funny, get up. Right? Have you ever noticed this too? And I'm going to close in just a minute. I've noticed this, and it may not be universally true, but I've noticed that men are harder on their boy children, and women are harder on their female or their girls. Why is that? Because you've experienced what they're going through. I can remember my dad. Now, this is a story that... my brother had gone out on a Friday. He was supposed to work on Saturday morning. He'd gone out on Friday night. And let's just say that he got overly enthused in what he was doing and was really sick come Saturday morning. I mean, really sick, spinning, all the things going on, right? Sick. And I don't know why I was in the living room, but I was there. He was sitting in the recliner or something. And he comes, "Dad, I'm not going to work." And my dad said, "Oh, yes, you are." And my dad absolutely mirrored this for us. He would go to work no matter how he was feeling because of the responsibility that he had. It's not that Dad didn't love my brother and wasn't concerned about how he was feeling, but love was more important to prove to him what he was supposed to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? And then for women and girls, it's like, I don't want to go to school. I'm cramping. And then the mother says, "Honey, you got to learn to deal with that because that's going to be there for a long, long time, right?" And so here's the point. The point is this, is that the love that we have in working for God or even living our lives sometimes is not based on feelings, whether we want to, whether we don't want to. It's based back on His Word and what the truth is. Walk together in love. Tell the truth in love. Operate in love. Everything that we do ought to be done with the motivation of loving God first, but then allowing the love of God to work through us to meet others. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got to tell you this, and I'm closing. See, I'm folding my Bible. When I first got saved, I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, there's lots of gifts to the Spirit and the people that I was going with. I want this gift. I want that gift." I said, "Lord, give them all the gifts, but teach me how to love like You love. I want Your love to be permeating through me, and so other people can feel that, and they can know that." And I'm not bragging on me, but I'm bragging on the fact that the Holy Spirit has allowed me to do perfectly. No, but He's allowed me to do that. And here's what I believe. I really believe that God is good all the time. But watch this. I also believe that God believes the best of every person. And whether they're out on the street doing drugs that they shouldn't be doing, or they've left the church mad or whatever, I believe God wants to get through to them. And I believe that my loving them. One story, I really want to close, but I need you to get this, that God wants us to begin to love people in truth, but with an expectation that His Spirit on the inside of us is going to allow us to do it supernaturally. I had a gentleman that was part of the church years ago. He came back. He'd been out doing some things. I'm not going to go into detail. But he got out doing some things. And he came to church one day. And he said, "I knew that if I came here, I would be loved. I knew. If I came," see, to me, again, not bragging on me, but that was an answer to my prayer that I prayed when I first got saved. God, use me to love people even when they're unlovely. And that's the motivation that God wants to use for us going forward. No matter what you're, being a grandparent, being a parent, being a boss, being an employee, whatever it is that God has before you, He wants you to live your life supernaturally motivated by His love in you, but then His love through you. Amen? Did y'all get something today? I pray you did. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I thank You for being here. And Holy Spirit, I would just ask You to touch every heart of those watching online and those that are here in the room. If we've ever made our lives about anything but your love, God, forgive us. If we've been self-seeking, if we've been self-serving, if we've been envious or jealous or any of those attributes that aren't defined in your love, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, Lord. Because I know at some points I've been all of that. But Lord, I ask your forgiveness. And then I ask you, Lord, to give me just another opportunity, whether it's today or tomorrow, to be that vessel that carries your love to touch another heart. I thank you, Lord, that you will. I believe that your grace is upon everybody to do what you've called them to do. And I want to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're watching online, Jesus is Lord, but you've got to make him Lord. It's not about just what you know in your head. It's your heart. And he'll make himself known to you if you'll seek him. How do I know that? Because he made himself known to me. God bless you. Thanks for joining us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team.